You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Could you tell me about your research? How have vaccination rates changed since 2006?
In general, from 2005 or 6, when the National Immunization Register was introduced, immunization coverage is growing steadily all around New Zealand, which is definitely good news. Although the behavior may be slightly different, and when we look at areas based on the deprivation, meaning how poor or how wealthy the areas are, when we look at the more deprived areas, the poor areas, more the areas where people are more vulnerable to things, to health issues and generally issues in life, then there's a steady growth in immunization. So the gaps in between the rich and poor is closing, actually. But on the other hand, in areas that are affluent, in some of them we can see the small decline in immunization rates, and we can just guess what are the reasons, because we don't have the data on this to draw any conclusions.
So could you give a bit more detail on this dip? How much has it dipped in those areas?
It's not big. It's just a matter of like a small percentage. But the issue is that once the immunization goes generally below 95%, then thing that is called herd immunization is not working. And it's not herd immunization, it's herd immunity. So even the people who are not immunized are protected by those who immunized are. So there is a really low risk of local outbreak. Even though it's just a really small decline, just imagine you have a children that is not immunized, and unfortunately for some reason, you know, from traveling or from meeting friends elsewhere, it got measles. And then, you know, children likes to be in collective, likes to play sports. So that kid might play rugby on a local team and meet with other kids from more affluent areas, from less affluent areas, more affluent areas, doesn't matter. So by that way, the outbreak can spread, the disease can spread into even areas where there's even less immunized children, if that makes sense.
Mm. So I want to talk a bit about vaccine hesitancy, which for the record, I think is quite a generous way to put it. But how do we begin to tackle this issue of parents refusing to vaccinate their children?
I think that the vaccine hesitancy, or how we call it, it has, in New Zealand, it has more reasons. That it's not as simple. So on one hand side, there are people who are, you know, who are not in need. So they're wealthier people, or people who wants to live more natural lives, but it means they can afford it. And they don't want to use the vaccines, they don't want to use chemicals in their food, etc. But they don't realize one thing, that they're not doing this for kids. Once the kid is affected or immunized by the disease when it's young, it's actually good, because then it's protected for the rest of their lives. But once the disease affects the adult, it can have much more hard consequences on that person. So for example, chickenpox, it's, you know, for a kid, it's just, you know, it scratches, or you can vaccinate it against chickenpox. But once you have it as an adult, it can cause impotency. So it might mean that you don't have children after that. So those consequences might be might strike much harder to adults than children. So it's not just about protecting the children themselves, but it's as individuals, but also protecting children as the community, and also protecting the future generations of other children. So it's like that's just one of the reasons. Another one is that some, for example, ethnic groups might not perceive or might not find the healthcare that is suitable for them, or that's culturally appropriate. So, for example, they don't have a GP they trust, or they are used to be treated in a different ways, or, for example, they don't trust in medicine. So it's hard to say. It's really hard to say. And sometimes even the information provided by health services might be too hard for them, too confusing. So they'd rather not do anything than being affected and then cause that their children will have, for example, a fever for a day or two, even though it protects the children for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, so there's a lot of misleading information around about vaccines. How do we do you have any thoughts as to how we combat that misinformation?
It might be slightly naive, but I think with a good science we can help a lot, but also with a good communication of the science, from not just from the scientists but from the government as well. It's hard to tackle people who thinks that to be vaccinated is something that is not right, not natural. There, you know, once you're looking for information, you're just looking for information that confirms your ideas. So once you get in the circle, it's hard to get out. It's hard to perceive both sides. For example, on one hand side, I quite understand that, you know, as a parent, you don't want children, you don't want to cause fever to your children by the vaccine. But on the other hand, it's like you have to realize that it might have much wider consequences. And we probably should focus on all groups of population, but the strategy might be slightly different based on where people live and what is their ethnicity, so it can affect all of them, or it can reach all of them in a suitable form.
Do you predict that that this sort of hesitance with vaccines will cause issues in terms of a COVID-19 vaccine in the next year or so?
It's really hard to say. Now, we did the research, and most of the research is on vaccination of children. And when we talk about COVID-19, it actually affects rather the older population or adults. Those are the groups that are the most vulnerable. And throughout their lives, they created opinions on everything. So I really have no idea how this will happen and what the vaccine for COVID can cause, and what will be the strategy of the New Zealand government or governments around the world. Anyway, I think it will take a couple more, you know, probably months to get safe vaccines out, and we'll probably have to wait and see. Because it's really hard to predict.
So let's talk about areas with the lowest immunization rates. How do we provide adequate healthcare in those regions? Like, what needs to be done to elevate that level of immunization?
As I mentioned before, you know, the outreach activities from government and regional DHBs and GPs and immunization programs at schools, it's really doing well in general for areas that are with the lowest immunization. But the question is, or the real crucial part is that the healthcare that is provided or the service that is provided need to be really targeted to its audience. Meaning, just imagine you're as a Pakeha or Maori or Pacifica, you will have different needs for healthcare. Meaning, you need to build the trust in between communities and the targeted audience, children. So this is probably the most suitable way, although it's a pretty hard one, because the universal healthcare is not universal for everyone. And by by providing the same service that is not targeted to everyone, which we basically can even cause the gap between ethnicities and people that should be closing.
So you're pointing out the need for more cultural considerations in terms of providing for...
Definitely, because unfortunately Maori, this is the group with usually with the lowest immunization in general. So, and it's about 16-20% of the population. So we need to provide the health service that is suitable for Maori and targeted, yeah.
So for those who are listening who are in areas where they can get vaccinations but are wary of them for either themselves or their children, do you have anything that you'd like to say to those people?
Yeah, the most important thing about the vaccination is that you're not protecting only yourself, but you're protecting the entire community. And even though it might be hard to see your children to have a fever for a day or two, it's important to realize that the children is protected for the rest of their lives. And you also protect neighbor's children and the children of neighbor of your neighbor and the entire community. So by that, you're just creating a healthier community in general.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.